Sermons from the Journey is an audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Rebecca Clark, pastor at Trinity United Methodist Church in Montpelier, Vermont, and blogging online at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
There's a video clip, I've seen it several times on YouTube, that I will not play in the interest of time, but instead describe. I'll link to it in the email and on my blog instead as well. But it features a woman telling her story. And the woman is African-American, and she's telling the story about going to a grocery store with her sister-in-law. Her sister-in-law is of mixed racial heritage. She is part African-American, but she appears very white. So she, as we might say, passes as a white person. She looks like a white person. So they go through their, they gather their groceries and they go to the checkout line, and the sister-in-law, the one who appears white, goes to the checkout line first. The checkout clerk, who's a young woman with blonde hair and bright and bubbly, has a whole conversation with the sister-in-law, checks out her groceries, the sister-in-law writes a check, and steps aside waiting for her companion, her other sister-in-law, to come through the checkout line. This woman, who again is visibly of a different skin color, steps to the counter. The clerk does not engage in small talk with her, no conversation, no chit-chat. Checks out her groceries. The woman goes to write a check, and she says, I'm going to need to see some ID. She proceeds to look through the bad checkbook to see if this woman is listed there and gives her a hard time about her identification. Meanwhile, the woman who's telling the story is there with her 10-year-old daughter, who is witnessing this exchange and starts to cry, because children, perhaps even more so than adults, are unaccustomed to seeing the blatant injustices in the world. They recognize when people aren't being treated fairly, and they're not accustomed to that. And they recognize it as wrong and as unjust. And then something important and powerful happens. You see, the woman who's telling the story acknowledges that she doesn't want to say anything. She doesn't want to name the injustice because she's already in kind of a disadvantaged place, and she's afraid that she's going to come across then as the stereotypical angry black woman. And then that's going to become part of the injustice that's happening and the profiling that's happening, right? But her sister-in-law has a privilege that she doesn't have. Her sister-in-law has the privilege of appearing white, of looking white, of being a white person in the world. And that privilege in this particular instance gives her some power. And the sister-in-law chooses to use it. Maybe it's a little bit easier because they're related, because they've known each other most of their lives and their children grow up together. But it's also just the right thing to do. And so the sister-in-law steps back over to the counter and says, excuse me, you didn't ask me for my identification. You didn't treat me this way. Why are you treating her this way? And a powerful thing happens then. This woman is telling the story after that, is that the people behind her in line, who, of course, wanted nothing to do with this, right? You can imagine you're just checking out, minding your own business, and the person in front of you is having a hard time with the checkout person. You're not going to interfere because you don't know them. But when one person stepped forward and said, why are you treating her differently than you treated me? Then the people behind said, hey, yeah, you didn't ask for her identification. You didn't check the checkbook for her. And the whole situation changed because one person used their position of relative power to make a difference in that moment. There's lots of talk sometimes recently. There's been all kinds of conversation there. A few weeks ago, there was a post that kind of went around Facebook a lot, of a young college student, a young white man talking about, you know, don't talk to me about privilege. You know, my life is hard too. And nobody's saying that people's lives aren't hard. So kind of dismissing the idea that there's a privilege to having lighter colored skin. And then the shooting in California has kind of brought to light this awareness of some male privilege and some of the dangers that women, and particularly young women in college, but women of all ages and all walks of life face. Twitter kind of exploded this last week with a category tagged, yes, all women. And women started telling their stories of the harassment that they receive just in their everyday lives. That kind of, the reaction, some men reacted like, whoa, don't attack us, but some men were just appalled and aghast and didn't realize. That's privilege. Privilege is the not realizing, right? It's the ability to go through our lives in whatever category, in whatever way, and not have to think about, if I'm going to go through the checkout line, am I going to be asked for my ID or not? I'm pretty confident that when I write a check, which isn't often, I usually use a card, but when I write a check, I'm not going to be asked for ID. I'm pretty confident about that. This week I went to rent a car because my car was going into the shop just to take care of a dent in the fender, and so I had to rent a car while it was in the shop, and I got to the rental place having already gone through this huge exercise to drop the car off and get a ride, and William was with me because he had to go to the doctor's, and so I've already juggled all this stuff, and somebody's picked me up, you know, the Enterprise guy has picked me up with the kid and the car seat and all the bags and all the things, planning to come to work after that, which never happened that day. And I went to rent a car and I handed them my license. Now, as you may or may not recall, my birthday was a few weeks ago, and guess what expired on my birthday? My driver's license. I handed them my driver's license and they said, I'm sorry, ma'am, your driver's license has expired. We obviously can't rent you a car. So I ended up spending a lot of that day at the Department of Motor Vehicles, where we've changed some of the rules in Vermont, and there are now all of these regulations around. You want to have, in order to get the new card that counts as a federal ID, which is about discriminating against people who aren't born in the United States, to be clear, and to make sure that the scary Canadians don't come over the border too much or whatever that's about. But there's a lot of stuff you need now. You need your passport, which has to be in the same last name, and if you change your last name, you better have changed your passport, which I haven't done yet. You need a certified copy of your birth certificate. A photocopy doesn't count. A certified copy with an embossed seal of a birth certificate from a few decades back, right? And stuff to prove your residency, all this stuff all over again. And for just a day, I mean, it took a day. I got a paper copy of a temporary, I don't have a driver's license, I have a driver's permission card or privilege card. Privilege card, I have a driver's privilege card. Isn't that interesting? But for just a day, for that time, I thought, now what if I was born in a different country? What if I looked a little bit different and for whatever reason that made it that much harder? The incredible privilege that I have most of the time to just know that I hand over my credit card and my ID and my whatever and things happen was taken away from me in part for just a day. And so I've included in your bulletin this list of privileges that are, you know, it's partial, it's not perfect, but this idea of here's 100 different things that many people walk around with these privileges and don't know. But how would your life be different if some of these things were or were not true about you? We don't even think sometimes about what it means to, I don't know, never have had to worry about a roommate after college. You know, you had a roommate in college, but you could live on your own after college. Not everybody can do that. Or never have to think about our own safety, the way that women started telling these stories about their safety in the wake of the shooting in California. So thinking about these things, just to bring to our awareness that sense of privilege that we all have. We all have different areas of privilege. Now, I feel like we get to that point and we hear this passage from Luke. I love Luke's Beatitudes because unlike Matthew, Luke doesn't spiritualize the sayings. He doesn't say, blessed are the poor in spirit. Luke says, blessed are the poor. You know, Matthew says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Luke says, blessed are you when you're hungry and thirsty. Right? You're going to be satisfied later. And then turns it around and says, but woe to you who have food now. Uh-oh. And I think we need to pair that, which is why I did, with this passage from Matthew. Because I don't think it's just like, oh, you have food, you have shelter, you have wealth, you have joy and happiness in your life, you're cursed. I don't think that's the point. But when we have food and shelter and clothing and joy in our lives, and there are others who don't, and we're content to not do anything about it, then there's a problem. So the sense of checking our privilege, as the young man kind of objected to, right, that I was mentioning, there's this young man who kind of, I don't want to hear about privilege. My life is hard too. Everybody's life has its privileges and has its hardships. The sense of checking privilege isn't to say, oh, you bad person, you're a white, straight, upper middle class man who has economic security or even wealth, and, you know, all, like, kind of, you get 100 or 95 out of 100 on that checklist, you're a bad person. That's not the case at all. The question is, what do we do with the blessings that we have? What do we do with the privileges that we have? And as I said, I think they're like blocks or tools that we have at our disposal. The woman and the grocery store, yes, she happened to be related to the woman standing behind her, but she didn't have to be. It might have taken more courage, it might have taken a little bit more chutzpah, it might have taken a little bit more gumption to speak up for someone she didn't know, but she had maybe just one card she could play, just one piece of privilege in that moment. She's also a woman, she's also the same age, she's also a whole bunch of things. But with the privilege she had, she used it to name something that was wrong and to change the situation. So it's not about looking at the privileges we have and saying, oh, I feel so guilty. You know, the burden. We talk about white guilt, right? People who are white feeling guilty that we have all these privileges. The point is, what are we going to do about that? What are we going to do with that? You know, one very simple way is, if you're the person after that person in the checkout line, right? You've seen somebody's ID get checked. You can step up with yours in hand. Well, you checked her ID, so I'm assuming you're going to want mine too. Just to call attention to it in a less confrontational way, maybe, you know? But there's a question of how we use what we've been given. It's not about what we have, but what we make of it. Are we taking these privileges that, like so many things, we haven't earned? They're simply an accident or a coincidence that we're born in a particular time and place and in a particular way, and we grow up with particular circumstances in our lives. But when we take that and we shape it and we use it to help those who in a situation maybe are disempowered, whenever we do that for those, no matter how unimportant they seem, we know that no one is unimportant in the eyes of God. No matter how disempowered they seem, and we know that no one is entirely without power, then we have done that for Christ. Christ who walked among us, who stripped away the privilege that he had and took on humble humanity so that we might understand what it is to live in service to God and one another. Whenever we take whatever privilege we have in the moment, ask ourselves, what do I have in my toolbox in this moment to name an injustice, to right a wrong, to offer comfort, even if that's the best we can do, is to just say to the person that's been wronged, I saw that, and I'm so sorry that happened. But to use our position, our gifts, the things we've been given, not as burdens that we carry that weigh us down, but as tools to help us shape the world more closely into the vision of God's kingdom, as tools to help us feed those who are hungry, clothe those who are naked, visit and comfort those who are sick and lonely and in prison. For whatever we do for any one of us, no matter how unimportant or how important the person may seem, we have done for Christ and in Christ's name. Amen.